This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days, free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Joined by our friend Guy Benson. He is the politics editor at townhall.com, also a Fox News contributor and author of End of Discussion. Guy, great to have you as always.
Hey, Buck. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my friend. So we got a big debate coming up on Monday. I'm seeing a couple of polls here saying Clinton is up by about six, right? There's this McClatchy-Maris poll out today, also earlier in the week. Wall Street Journal poll, I think, says that roughly 6 points, Clinton has a lead. What do you think going into all this stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's also the Associated Press poll that also put it around 6 points. So, meanwhile, there are some other polls that show a closer race. I think that the first debate is really important. All three debates, of course, are always important, but there's a lot of people who are estimating that Monday night's clash is going to draw a record audience. The moderate record, by the way, was Romney and Obama in that first debate in 2012, which was probably the highlight of Romney's campaign, where he just crushed Obama and really made it a race again because he had been slipping and Romney's decisive victory really helped him. That was about 68 million people who tuned in for that one. I've seen people expecting up to maybe 100 million people to watch this. And people like you and me find it hard to believe, but it is true that of those, let's say, 100 million, millions of them are really tuning into the race for the first time. They know who Hillary is. They know who Trump is overall, but they haven't really thought about the election that carefully. They haven't seen them necessarily ever head-to-head. So there's a curiosity factor. And I think what Hillary needs to do, her expectations are just naturally going to be significantly higher, because she's run a campaign saying, I'm the most qualified person to ever run for this office ever, and my opponent is a lunatic and a madman and a monster who knows nothing. So she has helped set these expectations both for himself, for herself and for him. So she needs to, she doesn't need the RNC put out a memo saying she needs to be nearly flawless to win. I don't know about that, but she needs a decisive victory or else it will look like an underperformance on her part. Whereas Donald Trump, I do believe he is losing this race right now. He is in a much better position than he was 5-6 weeks ago. There's no question about it. He has the opportunity to win this race. But two of the things that are holding him back in virtually every single poll that we've seen, including the new ones that you referenced, Buck, large majorities, like super majorities of voters, believe that he is not qualified to be president and doesn't have the temperament to be president. He has a chance to take on those vulnerabilities head on by coming across as relatively prepared, rational, and plausible. He's not going to get a majority of people to flip their mind all of a sudden and say, oh my gosh, he's super qualified and his temperament's amazing. He just has to shift that number and move the needle enough, because despite his deep, deep problems on those candidate characteristics questions, he's still, on average, only about 2 or 3 points down nationally to Hillary Clinton.
What do you think he needs to do in order to close the gap? I mean, if I could, I know this is going to be kind of a funny image for you perhaps, Guy, but if I made you Trump's debate coach, you know, he sat down with him, what does a strong Trump performance, what would it involve and how would it have to come across?
Well, I think they would use the same blueprint that they used for that Mexico trip, where everyone's like, oh, here we go. Trump's going to Mexico. Get out the popcorn. And then he was very subdued. deferential, respectful. He stuck to the script and exceeded very low expectations. And so if I were advising Trump, I would, I mean, first of all, I don't know if he has it in him to bone up on policy. I don't think he cares about policy. I don't think that that's really who he is or what he's about. So to me, that's a fruitless endeavor. I do worry that for 90 minutes one-on-one, there's nowhere for him to hide, right, on that stage. It's going to be half the time him talking. And if he's clearly off topic or non-responsive in a way where it looks like he's, again, the kid who hasn't done the reading and he gets called on by the teacher, that's not a good look. But overall, number one, don't take the bait from Hillary. She is going to try to bait him into some sort of an outburst that will underscore what people already think, which is that he has this terrible temperament and he really shouldn't be the most powerful person in the world because of it. If he can keep his cool, he doesn't have to take insults lying down, but if he can, you know, remain, you know, calm and use a steady voice, I think that would go a long way. Like, it's visual clues. How do people feel watching him? Do they feel like he is plausibly someone who could be president, or is he sort of this agitated-looking loose cannon? If he can go more with the former as opposed to the latter, I think that would go a long way in just sort of the vibe that people get off of him, which is voters are very intuitive. You know, voters are not, for the most part, really all that interested in every single policy specific. I think she'll run circles around him on policy specifics. That's expected. They want to figure out, looking at Donald Trump, is this guy someone who actually could be the president? Do I go with, I kind of want to vote against Hillary. I don't really like this woman, but gosh, he doesn't strike me as someone who is remotely presidential. If he can start to allay some of those doubts for a significant number of undecided or persuadable voters, that's where he has the opportunity to really gain on her.
And on the Hillary side of things, I mean, I assume that she's going to try to just burnish her credentials as much as she can. She's going to be essentially waving her resume around on stage, which perhaps will be useful in encouraging that perception that Trump is by no means ready for this office, and she's, you know, ready for Hillary, and everyone's ready for Hillary, and it's going to be just great. But I have to say, I think that there's the possibility that she gets a little bit jammed up on the honesty issue, because that's one place where it seems like, first of all, that she has no good responses. And also, Trump has gone after her on that in a way that I think is more effective, or gone after sort of the, you know, with crooked Hillary and that sort of thing in a way that might be more effective than some of the other Republicans would have. So I think there's a chance for him to score some big points. But as you say, it depends on what his demeanor is. And 90 minutes is a long time. I don't know how many times you can get away with saying, I'm going to make America great again and we're going to do good deals.
Right. And so I think that that's true. And there was a really good insight from one of my colleagues who writes at hotair.com, Ala Pundit. He noticed from a recent speech from Donald Trump this week, one of the lines that he really emphasized in his speech was, if you vote for Hillary Clinton, nothing is going to change. Nothing. And I think that is such an important argument for Trump to get back to over and over again, when she can come out and say, look at all of my impressive resume points. I was Secretary of State. I was a senator. I was First Lady. I have deep knowledge. And he can say, and how's that working out? 70% of the country says we're on the wrong track. Your top supporters can't even name a major accomplishment to help the American people from your 30 years in Washington, D.C., enriching yourself in this, you know, cronyist cesspool. So there's a way to really come after her and tap into the fact that for years now, by a large margin, the American people believe that this country is headed in the wrong direction. And the idea that Hillary Clinton, personally, I don't believe that Donald Trump has the solutions or the wherewithal to fix things. He says that he does, and he asserts it, and that's fine. And his supporters believe it, fine. But I think it is inarguable that if you are sitting here looking at the direction of the country and you're part of the 60 to 70% of Americans who believe we're on the wrong track, the notion that electing Hillary Clinton as president is going to be, you know, some sort of change-inducing moment where she's going to be an agent for positive change. I just think that that is a really tough sell, because she's just a careerist who's out for herself, who's made a lot of money in this whole process, and is basically saying, I'm just going to continue this status quo, the Obama-Clinton status quo, that people aren't particularly thrilled with, just for some more years. And I just think that that is a very weak argument to make for yourself, especially when you're as unlikable and distrusted as she is.
Do you think it's fair to say there's been a Trump campaign pivot, that things have sort of shaped up a bit, and it's yes. more serious than it was in the past?
Yes. I mean, I think that my theory, and there's been some reporting on this, my theory is that Kellyanne Conway came in as his new campaign manager, and that was when the shift happened. He was down by 10 points in the national polling after those conventions, and he was in trouble. He was in serious trouble. And so he brought on Kellyanne Conway. Hillary Clinton started to have a really bad stretch of headlines, which, you know, redounded to his benefit as well. But he did clean up his act. And I think Kellyanne Conway said, look, I'm a professional pollster. I've been doing this for my entire career. You are losing. We have to control our message better. Ivanka has been an advocate for that approach as well. Apparently, she and Kellyanne have become allies and friends in this whole campaign. And so Trump was, for example, no longer constantly obsessing and engaging in stupid, counterproductive feuds. He backed away from the cons thing. He has not been race-baiting any judges recently. So he just, again, the low expectations thing, he cleaned up his act a little bit, which was enough, coupled with Hillary's bad stretch, to close the gap again to a margin of error race. I think she is still the front runner, but there is an opening for him, and Monday night is really important for him to take advantage.
How is it looking right now on the Senate side of things? You've been taking a look. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's actually, I think coming into this cycle, everyone agreed this is going to be a tough road to hoe for the Republicans to maintain their majority, just because we're now 6 years after the 2010 Republican landslide year. They've got a lot more seats to defend in battleground states. The Democrats need to gain on net 4 or 5 seats, depending on who wins the presidency. And they have a lot of ways to get there. They still absolutely could. This is a toss-up, in my view. But the Republicans have made a lot of gains where their incumbents are outpolling and outperforming Trump in their states. Ohio, as opposed to being a big pickup opportunity for the Democrats, looks gone for them. Rod Portman's up double digits. Marco Rubio looking pretty good in terms of his standing down in Florida. Certain places like Missouri, Arizona, North Carolina, Democrats thought they had chances there. Those don't seem to be panning out right now. Kelly Ayotte has jumped back into the lead in New Hampshire. That's a good sign for her. Pat Toomey neck and neck in Pennsylvania. And then out in Nevada, it's the one seat that the Democrats, I think, are worried about losing. It's Harry Reid's seat. He's blessedly retiring. The Republican in that race, Joe Heck, very impressive guy, he has led in every public poll head-to-head with the Democrats. So there are now a number of different ways that I can envision the Republicans holding that Senate majority, regardless of who wins the presidential race.
All right. So all of our hopes do not rest on the Trump campaign. At least all Republican hopes, I should say, do not rest on the Trump campaign. Guy, what's your latest up on Town Hall?
So I wrote about the strategy memo from the Republicans trying to play up expectations for Hillary Clinton ahead of the debate. And basically, I don't think anyone needs to pre-spin this debate, is my bottom line. The American people have very set views of what they expect Hillary Clinton to be able to do and what they think Donald Trump might do. Those are the expectations from which both campaigns will operate. And then it'll be a massive battle for the narrative after the debate, depending on what happens. I am really excited, actually, for Monday night. It is going to be a fascinating display of politics.
It is indeed. I'm excited, too. We can nerd out on Twitter, Guy. It's going to be fun. There'll be lots of running commentary, I'm sure, on the debates. Guy Benson is the politics editor at townhall.com. You should check out Town Hall. Also, author of End of Discussion, and you'll see him on Fox News, where he is a contributor. Guy, Great to have you, buddy. Thanks for making time on a Friday.
No problem. Thanks, Buck.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Hey, team, it's Buck. Have you tried a Casper mattress yet? They are incredible. They're obsessively engineered, and they come at a shockingly fair price for a mattress that brings together technology and comfort to also be a great value is just too much for any of you to pass up. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and the perfect bounce. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. It is an award-winning mattress that absolutely will not disappoint. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. And for listeners of this show, you can get a special $50 toward any mattress by going to casper.com/buck. Casper.com/buck and using buck as the code. Terms and conditions apply.